What's exciting about this?
Well, they're all facing north, right?
Yeah, so?
Well, that's not true north.
What do you mean?
I mean exactly what I just said. That's not true north. Are you both seriously this dense? The sun rises in the east, and it sets in the west, right? Which means that's true north.
So what you're saying is the compasses are broken.
Do you even understand how a compass works? Do you see a battery pack on this?
No.
No, you don't, because it doesn't need one. The needle's naturally drawn to the Earth's magnetic north pole.
So, what's wrong with him?
Well, that's what I couldn't figure out, but then I remembered. You can change the direction of a compass with a magnet. If there's the presence of a more powerful magnetic field, the needle deflects to that power. And then I remembered what Mr. Clark said. The gate would have so much power.
Disrupt the electromagnetic field.
Exactly.
Meaning, if we follow the compasses north,
they should lead us to the gate.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Stranger Thursdays. I'm Anthony.
And I'm Paulina.
And today we will be talking about Chapter 5, The Flea and the Acrobat, which is sort of self-explanatory because in this episode they do give a reference of a flea and an acrobat, and that's how they explain the upside down. So
it's like an example or like an analogy.
Yeah.
That a certain science teacher lets us know.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
So we're going to jump right into it. In the first scene before the credits even show, we actually have a couple of scenes that cut out two main characters. But the first one that we do see is Hop going into Hawkins' lab. And I wrote down that he went into a room that was marked hazardous.
Mm-hmm. Which
it had like the little hazard sign, which I don't know if that was going to give him like a disease or like kill him or something, because we also do, spoiler, see them take their equipment off inside the upside down in the last episode, so I don't know if that's going to affect them. We also see like all the little pieces of like ash or whatever that's constantly falling and defying gravity in the upside down.
Like, I don't know what that is. I thought it was like glitter or something.
I thought it was like snow, but like when you look at it, it kind of looks like ash.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's hazardous.
Maybe it's like
a fire somewhere.
People's ashes. No.
That was deep.
It's like death and stuff. Well, yeah. Well, when he's like trying to break in, I wrote down that he looked badass. When
he took down two guys barehanded, and the other, they were equipped with guns, and he got, I don't even know what to say.
Outsmarted them?
I guess. He's constantly doing that, though.
Yeah.
And then when he gets their guard down, he just, like, bam, hits them, and then
that's dope. So that was cool to see, right?
Yeah, and to then see him being Mr. Incredible again. I compare him to Mr. Incredible. He kind of looks like him, and he kind of sounds like him, too.
Wow.
So I kind of think he's Mr. Incredible.
He's just missing.
Then they cut
the mask.
Then they cut to another scene where Joyce is crying with Lonnie, and I didn't really get much from that scene except for the fact that Lonnie compared her behavior to the same behavior she had when her Aunt Darlene, whatever happened to her Aunt Darlene, and I don't know, I just wanted to kind of know more about this Aunt Darlene and what happened if she died, if she passed away, if she moved away, if she was abducted or went missing or something. Like, we don't get much about this Aunt Darlene, and I know it's not like a main point, but I just, like, he's referencing her behavior to previous behavior, but we don't get to see, or they don't even explain in brief context what this behavior was.
Well, I mean, it's kind of apparent that, like, she's constantly, like, having anxiety and stuff like
that. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I guess we don't have to, like, we don't have to go into detail about it, just as long as
right,
we reference that it's happened in the past. That's what I mean.
Yes, so, I mean, what I took away from when Lonnie and Joyce were just, like, it kind of felt, it kind of felt like he was actually trying to, like, comfort her, but then later on we find out that he's a backstabber.
Yeah. So. Honestly, I feel like I totally skipped this episode. I keep telling you that I forget things happening, but this episode, like, I literally was watching it with my eyes wide open, like, oh my gosh, this happened, these connections, oh my god, when they were talking about the Veil of Shadows and stuff,
yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck, I do not remember this.
You didn't?
No, I remember yeah, them, the Veil of Shadows, yeah, I remember, but, like, the way they explained it, the way they went into detail and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, he was reading from, like, the book.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this episode was, like, packed with a lot of information and, like, scenes that kind of foreshadow a lot, a lot.
So we skip forward a little bit more, and we see that Hop has found a room that once belonged to Eleven, and it has a bed, and it has, like, a little lion stuffed animal, and it has a picture of Eleven and Papa that Eleven drew, I assume. But I just wanted to say that in later on in the episode, we see, like, a dog walking into Castle Byers, Will's little fort in the forest, and we see the same exact lion stuffed animal. So I don't know if that's foreshadowing something, or, yeah, just really foreshadowing, because we don't really, I don't think that gets explained. I mean, I forgot a lot of things that happened, but I don't think that little lion gets explained, so maybe it'll be season two, maybe it's telling us something, or maybe they just have the same lion.
Yeah, that's, like, a good point to bring up, but that also kind of confused me, like, I don't know, I'm not sure, it's... Like, the Duffer Brothers, what's up with that? Like,
yeah, come on our show and talk about it. But yeah, I just thought, like, I was like, what? Those are the same stuffed animals. So maybe there's experiments going on with Will, possibly.
Was it actually, like, the same, though? Cause,
yeah, it looked the same.
Because I feel like one was...
I don't know, if you want to go back and watch it.
I feel like one was...
I'll take screenshots and post it to Twitter.
Like, one
you
was,
tell me, poll.
Was more orange than the other. So.
Well, I mean, maybe because one's in a forest and one isn't, and it rained, and it's just a little discolored because it was left in the forest, you know?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
But they look like the same kind of lion stuffed animals, so...
It's probably just their way to connect Will to Eleven, because so far, I mean, all we know is that she can almost communicate with him, but, like, she technically doesn't really know him.
Communicate with him.
No, like, she doesn't really know him. Like, she doesn't, like, at all. They're not friends.
She comes into contact with Will, but she never really communicates with Will.
Right, so I guess that's just, like, a way to make them...
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, but I'm personally gonna say that maybe it's saying that they're doing experiments on Will, too, or something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they both, like, have the same stuffed animal.
I'm thinking, like, maybe she knew him before, but that's, like, far-fetched. Like, that's the conspiracy.
Yeah, I was gonna say far-fetched.
You know, so, like, because when she saw that photo of Will, like, it's kind of like, did she...
That's the first time that she sees him. Well, she recognizes him.
She recognized him, so that means that she must have
seen him before.
Yeah, she must have seen him before. I mean, and I highly doubt that she tried, that she, like, dunked herself in a tank somewhere while running away, which is highly unlikely. So maybe she knows him from before. I don't know. Conspiracy.
Maybe. Yeah. Because we, like, when she escapes or whatever, when the Demogorgon and Eleven escape, there's, like, no proof that Will's gone missing.
Yeah, by that
Will
time,
goes
we
missing.
Don't know.
Yeah, Will goes missing, like, after she escapes.
Yeah, there's, like, no...
There was no, like, technology and all that for Eleven to be hooked up to actually come into contact with Will from the Upside Down.
Exactly. Whoa.
I know. Whoa. Cracking the code. So, continuing through my notes, I do talk about the Veil of Shadows and how that is a reference to Dungeons and Dragons. So, another reference, the Demogorgon and the Veil of Shadows. And which they don't really consider it that. They call it the Upside Down.
Well, yeah, because of 11. But then Dustin is the one that kind of figures it out, no?
Yeah, Dustin is, like, throughout this episode, his character, yeah, shows his knowledge to a larger extent than what we know. Like, up till this episode, all we really knew Dustin for was...
food!
Yeah, always packing, have to have energy, and he always has food and all that. And we do see more funny little food gags, but throughout this episode, he really steps up his game and, like, kind of takes initiative and, like, puts the pieces together.
Yeah, and later on we also see that he figures out the compass.
Yeah, thing. So we'll talk more about that, but going through my notes, I did want to just say that Dustin had a scene at the beginning when he's talking about the Veil of Shadows. I felt like that one was really creepy and it gave me goosebumps because he was doing like the voiceover and was like reading what was written in the Dungeons and Dragons handbook. And then they were, like, cutting to scenes of Hop while he was, like, revealing everything and, like, actually going to Hawkins' lab.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was really good and really creepy and...
the way it was, like,
spine-chilling, yeah. The way he said, dark, empty place, it can be right next to you and you won't even know it and stuff. And I was like, whoa. I know, yeah. Because they went to Will's house and he wasn't there. But he was in the Upside Down version. So it was like right in front of their eyes and they didn't even know it. And then they cut to like Hop and he's like going through the slimy room and all that. And it was just really, really well pieced together.
Mm-hmm. Agree with that.
We also see a David Bowie poster in Jonathan's room, so there's another 80s reference, and another Bowie reference all throughout this series. We've had like 3 or 4 David Bowie references, or at least points where they speak about David Bowie.
So, I guess we can also talk about like the funeral?
Yeah, that was my next note. I wrote down Dustin laughing at the funeral, because they all know that he's not dead. But they can't put on a serious face. And Dustin was laughing. I don't know what he was laughing at. But, and then...
he was laughing at the girl that was crying.
Probably, yeah. And then Mike's mom was like, come on, guys, be respectful and stuff like that. And then they got, like, all serious. I also wanted to point out that Joyce Winona Ryder, is slaying in that black leather jacket at the funeral. Like, everyone else has black coats and, like, ties and nice vests, button-ups or whatever, and she just has this black leather jacket, and I'm like, yes, Winona, slay. And then after that scene, well, did you want to speak more about the funeral?
Well, Joyce is, like, she gets, like, a flashback, is it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to speak about,
too. It's a flashback. And I actually have a question about that. So, when Will, like, he's, like, drawing, I guess, wizard sword?
Yeah, it was Will of the Wise.
Will of the Wise. So, and then he's, like, he has, like, what are those balls? Like, the balls of, like, energy, or what are they, what did he describe it as?
I don't know. I thought they were fireballs, didn't he?
Fireballs. I don't know. They were like green or something. So that,
well, because they were supposed to be red, but then he didn't have a red crayon, so he did them green. And then Joyce said they look like cabbage patch things, whatever. But yeah, I thought that was a really cute scene, but really serious scene, because she was like, well, if Will is so wise, can't he outsmart the bad guys? And then Will was like, yeah, but sometimes the bad guys are smart too. And I was like, ooh, that gave me goosebumps, because that's kind of like the situation that he's in right now. He's like trying to play it smart and like outthink the Demogorgon and survive and stuff, but sometimes the monsters, sometimes the bad guys are smart too, and they can sniff you out.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of self-explanatory.
And then after that scene, we see Hop, who wakes up from being harassed, knocked out by people from Hawkins' lab.
Injected with, like, some sort of sleeper, I don't know,
but he's all sweaty and he's going crazy and he destroys everything in his house.
I'm also kind of glad, because, like, obviously we see, like, drugs or, like, pills and, like, bottles, like, laying around, kind of, like, to throw him off, but he's, like, he's not, obviously he didn't fall for it, he, like, knew what he saw, like, he knew what was up.
Like, they tried to make it seem like he got, like, blacked out, drunk and stuff, but he didn't.
Yeah, and he went to look for a bug, I guess. And I don't know how he, like, figured out that they were, like, listening in.
Yeah, I don't know either. He just, like, woke up and just, like, was determined to find this metal piece microphone that they hid in his light. And I thought that was really awesome, too, because he was, like, scavenging around the whole thing. I was like, what the heck is he looking for? Is he going crazy or something?
Yeah, he really pushes the story forward with that.
Because then he goes to Joyce's house and he's like, don't
speak.
She
has all the Christmas lights.
And he was like, oh boy. And then they spend, like, the rest of the day opening up every Christmas light and making sure there's no microphone.
Well, I mean, also with that, I'm kind of, like, confused because obviously they were tapped into her phone, I guess, because they figured out when she kept, like, saying that she was getting, like, calls. So, well, I guess it was her phone that was tapped, not, like, her actual home. It's like that
I thought the government tapped, like, everyone's phone, didn't they? Well, Hawkins Lab. But, I don't know if it's the government.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, they didn't tap Hopper's phone since, like, they hid that microphone thing in, like, a lamp or something. So that kind of just, like, threw me off a little.
So they're switching it up. Also, they go undercover, like, so many times, Hawkins Lab. Like, in this episode, they go undercover as, like, the people who fix the radio for the AV club. And I was like, okay, like, what's that gonna do? You're coming in trying to fix the radio? Like, they're not gonna, like, tell you, oh yeah, Eleven was here, and she touched this, and, yeah. The principal didn't even know who was in there when the fire broke out, but they still come in and, like, investigate.
Well, he said he didn't know, like, what could have caused it. Like, there's, like, no possible way that bad of a damage could have happened.
So they just assumed that it was 11?
No, well, they knew it was 11 because, like, obviously nobody has that kind of power. What?
They tapped into the phone, too, because they were all listening in to Will talk to
the mom
and stuff. And then they were like,
they were also listening to that.
But, yeah.
So I guess they knew already when... before they went in, but just to double check, I guess you can, like, tell that Eleven had, like, the powers to destroy that thing. Whatever.
And then they drive away from the school in a van that says Hawkins on it. I mean, I know Hawkins is the city, but if y'all trying to be low-key, don't drive around in a van that says Hawkins on it.
Well, you just said it yourself.
But I'm saying, like, if they trying to be low-key.
Low-key of what? Like, the city, like, the town doesn't know what they're up to.
Well, I mean, later on, they know because, well, at least the kids do, because when they see the vans, they know shit's about to go down. So they start riding their bike.
I mean, obviously, they underestimated the kids. And that was the mistake on their part.
So, fast forward to the after funeral party. I don't know what to call it.
Well,
I mean, I'm not trying to be weird and all, but, like, yeah. I don't know is there a word for, like, the party after the funeral?
I don't know either.
So we see Dustin, and he's picking through the food, and he just says that they're not real Nilla wafers, and I thought that was funny, because they were all being, like, super serious, and they were like, yeah, we're trying to cope with, whatever, how are you feeling, and all that, and Dustin's just like, dang, these aren't real Nilla wafers, and I thought that was funny, because I also saw it on Twitter, and, yeah, follow us on Twitter. But yeah, and then I had a question. I was like, where is Eleven during the funeral? Like, did they just leave her at home again? Like,
well, I mean, it would have been weird if
Eleven went to the funeral, but still.
She was, like, chilling in the basement. Come on.
Probably. She had to, like, rest. Adventures.
She was resting, you know?
And then Mr. Clark basically knows how to create the upside down, which I thought was odd, yet really good, because it came in handy because he knows all this knowledge of science and stuff.
Yeah, and like when he explains about the flea and the acrobat, I kind of didn't, like, I got the gist of it, but I didn't fully understand it. Like, how come we can't be the flea? You know, what's up with that? So does that mean that, like, only the Demogorgon is a flea? Like, how? Like, I don't know. Like, I just... Somebody explain that?
I think the Demogorgon is the flea. And so is Eleven.
Well, yeah, it can get to both sides.
We technically can't... Well, I can't personally be the flea because I'm not in Stranger Things world. But technically, the kids can be the flea too, because Joyce and Hop are the flea in the last episode when they go to the upside down. So you just have to be able to create the portal, or the gate that they call it, to the upside down, and then you'll become the flea.
Yeah, but the only way you can create the portal is, like, with extreme, like, power, which we obviously find out later on, spoiler, who had the power to open. And then again, we go back to that same question, how all these other portals can pop out, like, out of nowhere. So it's kind of like, it kind of questions, I kind of question even more.
Who's generating this power?
No, I kind of question even more, like, his theory with the flea and the acrobat, because then I don't understand it again.
Well, Duffer Brothers, if you want to come on the show. We see that they, quote, Stadies keep doing their jobs. So, basically, Hawkins' lab keeps sending people from the so-called state, even though they don't work for the state, they work for Hawkins' lab, and they keep doing what the sheriffs are supposed to do. Which, in this case, they found Barb's car. So, obviously, they planted it there, and now they're trying to say, oh, she ran away, when she really didn't. So also,
really quickly, I kind of want to talk about, well, this was kind of like once they were figuring out the compass.
Yeah, that's my next line. I just wrote Dustin like 5 times, because he turned into a badass.
Yeah, so Eleven is, like, saying, okay, no, like, it's dangerous, we should turn around, whatever, and they're like, no, so she kind of, like, messes around with the compasses, and then Lucas kind of, like, figures out that she's been messing with it, so then he gets in a fight with Mike. And while they're, like, kind of disputing whatever, she kind of gets a flashback. Well, she does. She gets a flashback. And with that, just, like, really quickly, I want to talk about, like, the Russian guy and my little, like, history lesson that I'm about to give y'all if y'all don't know what was up with that kind of flashback. So we, like, know that she's kind of, like, used as a weapon for the war, which specifically would be the Cold War, because it was through 1947 to 1991. So obviously 1984 fits in there, in that timeline. And yeah, that was the history lesson for today.
So that's why they were training her with this Russian dude. Because they
Figure out what the Russian guy was saying, maybe to like get some intel, secret intel.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever it may be.
So that was her flashback. Really quickly, I'm going to try to speed through this. Screw Lonnie. I hate Lonnie so much because he basically just came for the money and Joyce found out. She's not stupid. So she was like, get out of my house right now. Yeah. So I was like, yes, tell him. Also, he says something like, how long are you going to keep these Christmas lights up? And in my head, I was like, the beginning of the series legit said November. So he acts like it's after Christmas. Like, it's before Christmas. She's just early, you know? Like, she can keep them up all the way till Christmas if she wanted to. Like, it's not after Christmas. It's not like January 1st and he's like, oh, you still have your Christmas lights up. No, it's before Christmas. So she can keep them up as long as she wants. Also, Steve comes and apologizes to Nancy, and he says, I was a total dick, and then I wrote down, I am a total dick, because was, past tense, does not bring justice to how much I also hate Steve, because he's just a total dick, like he said.
Right.
I don't know, I stopped because I felt like maybe you might want to say something, or I'm just saying too much.
And then also... we also have a big part where Jonathan and Nancy are kind of figuring, well, in the beginning, they kind of figured out that the Demogorgon was kind of traveling not that far, like he was still like within the area. Mm-hmm. So they kind of devised a plan to like find it and kill it, you know,
yeah,
and hunt it down. So
they have a lot of good scenes in the forest too. I randomly wrote down that Nancy says, my parents never loved each other, which we don't really see that, like, at all throughout the series. I mean, we see them get mad at the dad, and he's like, what I do? But, like, we don't really see, like, the mom and the dad having problems and stuff.
Well, I don't know if it's just me, because we've seen, like, the whole show already. So I don't know if by episode 5, we've seen their relationship, but it's kind of obvious that they're not really that connected. Like, they don't seem like a very couple, I don't know, they don't seem in love, I guess, like how she says.
I guess, I don't know,
it was very apparent to me, but I don't know if by then it was apparent or not, but it's apparent.
I mean, like, to me they kind of looked fine, but I mean, I guess they legit just had a kid because of Holly's like 3 years old or two. They say her age at the beginning, but still, like, they just had a kid, so they don't love each other, they're just having kids.
I feel like you can just tell, like, especially at the dinner table is like where you, I don't know, I guess you didn't catch on by then.
I don't know, I didn't catch on to it. We also see that Jonathan says, I don't like most people, and he goes into, like, this emo phase that I feel like I can really connect to, but then he's like, oh yeah, you looked like you didn't belong, and you were just, like, doing things to do things to try and belong and stuff, and Nancy got, like, all offended and told him stuff saying that she thought he wasn't a pretentious creep, but he is. And then Jonathan comes back by saying, and here I thought you were this girl who wants to rebel by doing everything rebellious people do. So basically you're not rebelling and you're going to fall into the same slump as your parents. And you're just going to be who you wished you weren't going to be. And I was like, dang, Jonathan just told Nancy off, like he dragged her.
Yeah, that was kind of, I don't know, not upsetting to see, but it's kind of like, okay, so are y'all still gonna fight Demogorgon, or what's up with that? So
true.
Which they obviously do, because they like run into, well, they're in like the woods at night, and like they run into like a deer that was like hit by a car, And then it was like this whole like 5-minute spiel of like who can kill it or who has the balls to kill it.
No,
and it was
because
Jonathan
then we
like
killed at like the age of 10 and he cried
for
a week.
But like so then, it was like this whole like big thing that, but obviously nobody kills it because the Demogorgon takes it.
Yeah, that jump scare had me the first time. So, it kind of had me the second time too. I was like waiting for the jump scare. I was like, is it gonna happen? When's it gonna happen?
I don't know, I actually didn't see it coming, but I don't know. It kind of just happened.
Yeah, dude, that
it was that scene was kind of taking
forever, scared me
so.
More than anything.
More than the Demogorgon.
Yeah, that deer was probably like the scariest thing besides like the opening scene of the whole series when the door just like randomly flies open and it makes a huge noise. That part scared me
too. So I mean, then they're like obviously still searching, and then Nancy has the bright idea to like get into that tree, and then the closing scene is obviously that the tree is like the portal and the tree is like closing.
I saw this thing, I think it was on Instagram. It was like, Nancy, how are you gonna say it's gross to put syrup on your eggs but you crawl into that tree?
I saw that too,
no questions asked, which I thought was funny because she was all like gross to Mike when he put syrup on basically like all of his breakfast food items. So we see Nancy get stuck, and that's the end of that episode. So our podcast wasn't too long this time, hopefully.
It's like 5 minutes over.
And we still need to close it. So really quickly, I'm going to give you my Stranger Things minute or whatever, our little ending news. It actually happened last Thursday, and we didn't see it until after we had already recorded or posted our podcast. But Noah Schnapp put up like a bunch of his little belongings, carry-on, whatever you want to call it, on Instagram with a caption saying that season 2 shooting has like officially started, I guess. So super excited for that. Also, I don't know his name, I keep forgetting, but the character who plays Steve also posted on Instagram saying that he's gonna start shooting for season 2 as well. So all the characters are coming back, and they are slowly but surely getting ready to shoot for season 2. So season 2 has officially started production.
Yay, super excited.
Also, I think Millie is in a music video if you want to check that out. Shout out to Millie. The song is called like Find Me. It's like some kind of electronic song, but it's, I don't know the DJ, but it features Birdie, so you can probably just like look up Birdie Millie Find Me on YouTube or something. It'll probably be like the first one or the most popular because it just came out. Like, so if you want to check that out, there's that. So that's all the Stranger Things news that I have for you. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, be sure to subscribe and like and share with other Stranger Things fans. And be sure to check us out on Instagram. It's under Stranger Thursdays. And I finally worked on a Twitter. It's not complete yet, but we actually have a page now. I couldn't get Stranger Thursdays because the name was too long, but I think our at name is called Castle Will Byers. So pretty simple, Castle Will Byers on Twitter. So check it out. Thank you for tuning in, and hopefully you tune in next Thursday. Bye.
All right, bye.